This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, yeah. On your home for the best Ravens coverage. It's time for News from the Nest with Vinny and Haney. 105.7 The Fan.
All right, Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. News from the Nest. We'll get back to your phone calls here in a second. Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw, but Lamar Jackson met with the media after yesterday's loss. And the Sun became a prominent part of the discussion. So here comes the Sun, right, Lamar?
They didn't tell me that. If they did, I believe, because the Sun was glaring today, shining.
Good day, sunshine. We're going to hear from Bateman about that in a few minutes well. But the one that stands out, Lamar improvises, adapts, open field. Bateman's wide open. Yes, he slips. But I don't know if they still do the NFL Films blooper things there.
No, that was
they
one.
Used to. I mean, it hit him in the face. If it was like the ball would have like stuck in his face mask. And on the sidelines, however, you saw Lamar catch the ball. Frustration City had started to set in by this point in time. Because that was, what, early in the fourth quarter from the or middle of the fourth quarter.
Yeah, they were in the shade on the one end and then the sun in the other. So, who am I to say? I mean, he looked up, pointed right away. I don't know. But at least, Bob, I mean, he had a major, major drop. And he talked to the media. And these other guys that dropped it, they walked out.
Yeah, and before we get back to the audio and we get to you, the listeners, we were talking off the air. Kyle Hamilton last week, we have to do a better job catching these balls.
No doubt.
And the guy that dropped maybe the most egregious of them all yesterday should have been the first person speaking to the media after the game. Hey, look, I was the one saying it. I'm the big culprit here because they scored the Browns literally on the very next play. Instead, out the door, him and Roquan, before the media got in there.
Yeah, I think you said off the air, Bob. I mean, you can't have it both ways. When you win and everything's going good, you know, you got to stand up there when you lose, too. I mean, Harper's got to be up there, win or lose.
Sure.
So
does Lamar.
Yep. So if you lose, hey, you just got to suck it. You got to be a man about it and just admit it. Hey, I got to get on that jugs machine. You know, that's what I got to do. I dropped a ball that was, you know, my sister could have caught.
Yeah, he did exactly what he said they needed to stop doing.
Right.
That didn't meet with the media.
And then my next question to him would have been, well, how much extra catching did you do this week?
Anywho, so that was Lamar talking about the Sun. Didn't seem to bother him. But did the Browns' defensive scheme bother you at all, Lamar?
Oh, those guys were triggering. You know, they got the safeties all down, linebackers. They were switching it up. They were doing a great job at switching it up. But the read was still the same. They did a good job, though.
I thought I thought what they did was they played fast. Cleveland played fast, played aggressive, and played hard. They just played harder and more aggressive than the Ravens did. I thought that was – they wanted that game more than the Ravens did, it seemed like. And you know what? They were going to gift it to the Ravens and just say, hey, you know. I mean, halftime, they gifted it to the Ravens.
Yes,
and
they did.
And Bob – If Hamilton would have caught that pick, Winston would have gifted it to the Ravens just like he did before the half.
But we'd still be talking about how late in the defense was, though.
Oh, no doubt.
How they got lucky.
Yeah.
And
we'd be saying same old Jameis Winston.
Right. Now he's got his probably number one hero for Browns fans, at least for today. Now the Ravens did get into a position where they were inside the 30 with a chance to maybe pull the miraculous victory off. Lamar talks about what happened at the end of the game.
That'd be easier catch the ball and bounce if we got probably a couple more timeouts. We were probably closer to the end zone than we was far out. So we were just trying to get the ball close as possible to the end zone to give our guys a shot.
Yeah, they had one timeout, you know, so and then when you catch it in the middle of the field, you know, like they went from 59 seconds to 41 seconds on the one play that he dumped it over the middle to, and that cost him 19 seconds or whatever, you know. So that makes it kind of difficult when you don't have the timeout.
And even on that last play, which was to Zay Flowers, Lamar was under duress. It wasn't like, let's just throw a jump ball to our biggest guy and hope that he can, you know, make the play. It just, I think Zay fell down, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, he was under duress quite a bit during the day. And I'm going to give a lot of that to the receivers. Got to get open for him, because if they're open, he's going to throw it. But they were covered. I mean, they were not open. They were not open. Every ball thrown almost was a contested catch.
It's Vinny and Hedy, 105.7 The Fan. News from the Nest here on this Monday. Ravens lose. Five-game winning streak comes to an end. And here is Rashad Bateman talking about why he didn't make that catch.
No, I saw the ball all the way up to the last minute, and then the ball went directly into the sun. I can't do nothing about that. So, I'm glad you got me on that one. That's all I can say.
At least, you know, I mean, he was honest about it. I mean, we've seen baseball players do the same thing.
Hey, driving on the beltway with the sun glare in your face can be pretty challenging.
You know, so I guess it is what it is, you know, and just be better for it next time. You know, get some eye black or whatever. I don't know. You know. Somebody said get a shield. The only thing is you're not allowed. You know, you have to have an eye issue or whatever to get the darkened shield.
And then finally, maybe the bigger picture. Hey, Rashad, what about that offensive game plan today?
I think we were just looking to get in the end zone somehow, some way, with the plays that we've called. We didn't do that. You know, Cleveland did a good job of defending us, you know, towards the end of the game, and, you know, came up short.
I think the biggest thing they came up short, Bob, 2 of 10 on third down, 0 for 2 on fourth down. To me, that, you know, you can't get into any rhythm if you're not converting on third down, and that's the thing that they've been doing. So if you're not converting on third down, what does that mean? First and second down probably weren't that good either, because you're third and long. And, Bob, in the first half, the Ravens were 0 for 4 on third down. 0 for 4. So they were, what, 2 for 6 in the second half.
It's been 88-105-7 The Fan. We're going to hear from Eddie Jackson and more coming up when we get to NFL lunch, 1 o'clock. Talk about those communication breakdowns that have been a season-long problem. We have time for a call. Nolan, you make the call. Let's go to Sean in Baltimore. Sean, thanks, Roddy. What's up?
Hey, good afternoon. Hey, I wanted to say, with this defense and that secondary, I bet you in practice, right? Bateman probably be looking like Jerry Rice in practice, don't you think? go ahead, Vinny. Go ahead.
The thing is during the season, you don't go ones on ones. You know, you're running against scout teams pretty much, so you're not going one on one. Maybe in a 7-on-7 period, maybe so, but. It's all scripted and stuff. So, yeah, I mean, their secondary is not good.
One more thing, Vinny. Hey, Vinny, you think that I seen, you know, Andrews had dominant games against Cleveland in the past. It seemed like Lightley got more targets yesterday and was on the field more. Did that seem like that to you? And I listened to you off the air.
Likely. Like on his screen passes and stuff, Likely does a hell of a. Likely is a much better runner with the ball than Andrews is.
Andrews had 5 targets. Likely had 4.
And Likely had 47 plays. Andrews had 50. So they were pretty much on the field the same amount of time.
And Andrews scored yet another touchdown too.
Yeah, and you know he was the dump off guy. I think with Likely is. And I think every catch he made, he made yak yards after the catch. I mean, he does really well at that kind of stuff.
Well, he was wide open for an 80-yard touchdown.
Oh, yes, he was.
And then Lamar missed him, and that was one of the more, I'd say, unfortunate parts of yesterday's loss. Zay Flowers wide open. So Lamar made a couple of throws that he'd like to have back.
No doubt.
As well. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Let's count that dough, hopefully, at 12. Well, coming back with buy or sell. And then Chris Boombacha. Talk about Week 8 National Football League season. Stephon Diggs got hurt. with Houston. Is he done for the year? Jordan Love, same thing with Green Bay. And tonight, Pittsburgh trying to make it another win over the Giants. We'll put them in sole possession of first place in the AFC North.
Are you buying?
Great cash, homie.
Or are you selling?
I'm not going to buy into that crap.
Vinny and Haney, 1057, The Fan.
All right. It's a Monday. Ravens lose. Terps lose. Navy loses. Yankees are down 0-2. There's some good news there. Plenty to get into sports-wise. Right now, as we do every day around this time, Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fed, Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw, other side of the glass, count the dough by yourself.
Well, the Dow is up 296, the S&P is up 24, NASDAQ is up 90, DraftKings down 19 cents, Under Armour's up 7 cents to 802.
All right, let's get started here with a little college football. Penn State handled their business against Wisconsin on Saturday, had a 28-13 win, but the loss of quarterback Drew Aller has left some question marks for their road ahead. He had a knee injury, prevented him from playing in the second half. However, backup quarterback Bo Perbola was more than efficient, completed 11 of 13 attempts, 98 yards, a touchdown, no picks. So as a top three team in the AP rankings, every game's a big one for you, but an extremely inopportune time to have a quarterback injury considering the Nittany Lions are facing Ohio State this coming Saturday. The good news for them, it is in Happy Valley. Buy or sell, Vinny, if Penn State can still beat the Buckeyes for the first time since 2016 with Perbola as their quarterback.
I'll soft buy it. It's at home, which gives them a chance. And then Ohio State, they should have lost to Nebraska.
Minnie Mahomes had a bunch of turnovers in that game for Nebraska.
So I don't know. Maybe both were kind of looking ahead. I'm not sure. But Ohio State's got to bring a better game than they had last week to win this one. It's, you know, noon kickoff, and it's going to be 110,000 screaming fans on Saturday.
And Penn State, after Ohio State, four unranked opponents, Washington at Purdue, at Minnesota, and then hosting the old Turtles there, last game of the season.
All right, we'll move over to the NBA. Just last week, the Warriors handed out an extension for one of their young guys, Moses Moody. Fellow 2021 first rounder Jonathan Kuminga did not receive an extension, and he'll now be a restricted free agent at the end of this season. Continues really a strange trajectory for him since his career started. As a rookie, helped Golden State win a title, averaged 9 points per game, then went on to average over 16 last year while starting 46 games, but even still had trouble maintaining Steve Kerr's trust for whatever reason. Hard to say what his future is for now. Reports are that they'd like to maintain him, but they're in kind of a wait-and-see mode with him. Buy or sell, Bob, Kuminga needs a change of scenery to reach his full potential.
I'm going to sell that because you talked about the flashes that he's displayed. Look, he's the heir apparent to Draymond Green in that front court, you would think. I guess Steve Kerr will get it all figured out. Remember, Steph Curry had to leave last night's game, limping off with an ankle injury. By the way, quietly, old Andrew Wiggins, is doing some good things for them so far this season. But I think Kuminga still has a future, and it's a bright win, and it's going to be in Golden State.
Well, Jared Goff, boy, he was special yesterday. Three touchdown performance and only three incompletions, which brings me to this. The Lions, boy, just offensively this year, absolutely unstoppable at times. Prior to this game, the only team to throw for more touchdowns than incompletions in a four-game span, and as I said just yesterday, same amount of touchdowns and incompletions. Jared Goff's just playing out of his mind. Completion percentage over 80%. That's unheard of. A lot of quarterbacks don't do that, even in a limited span, let alone eight games for him. The connection with Amon-Ra St. Brown, it's as strong as any. He's really firing right now. Buy or sell, Vinny. Jared Goff, your new MVP favorite after yesterday.
I'll buy that for right now. I thought, if Lamar would have, you know, brought them back. If Lamar would have won, I would have said that he just stays on top. But with what Goff did yesterday and stuff, I'll buy that after eight games.
How about Jahmyr Gibbs taking it to a new level for them last couple of weeks, too?
We'll do a little NBA
here. They
didn't
miss Williams, did they?
No.
Very true. Lakers. We love talking about the Lakers. We're a big Lakers show here.
Yeah, yep, yep.
Well, buy or sell is big on the Lakers. They're always good for a headline. Well, if they're going to be a legitimate contender this season, they're going to have to get some contributions from guys not named Anthony Davis or LeBron James. Need key role players. That's been something they're missing in recent history. CBSSports.com has identified a potential breakout candidate or maybe unsung hero, unlikely hero for every team. And for the Lakers, the pick, former Wizard, Rui Hachimura. Remember, he got traded there in the past and still trying to find a solidified role. New coach could change some things for him. But last season, Hachimura was in the 84th percentile in spot-up situations, was efficient in post-ups due to his wide array of fadeaway jumpers here, reading directly from CBS Sports. So anyway, Bob, long story short, buy or sell Hachimura, a true breakout candidate.
I'm going to sell it. I mean, he's going to be a serviceable guy who's going to make a ton of dough, being whatever his role is. Remember when they first traded for him a couple years ago from the Wizards? You would have thought they traded for Elvin Hayes in his prime, the way they were talking him up. Hachimura's a good ball player. Watch out for Dalton Connect before it's all said and done. Their draft pick this year out of Tennessee. I don't know if he's going to break out, but he's going to be a key contributor. And hey, if D'Angelo Russell would ever play with any level of consistency, that would help too.
Well, C.J. Stroud, pretty strong young quarterback. Nobody's really disputing that. But maybe what is strange for him is his record away from home, staggeringly different than his record at home. And the stats in those games, maybe even more staggering. A home record of 9-2, that improved yesterday with a win over the Colts. Away from home, 5-6 in his career. Almost 100 less passing yards per game. Touchdowns fall off a cliff, turnovers about the same, and a pretty steep drop in passer rating as well. It's hard to pinpoint what the exact reason is. Playing on the road, more difficult than at home, but for a young quarterback as bright as he is, at times it almost seems like he's not rattled by anything. But buy or sell, Vinny, the Stroud and the Texans will finish the season with a losing record on the road.
I'll buy it. Their offensive line is not good. That's one of the biggest problems. So, yeah, losing record on the road, I'll definitely buy it. And they've been struggling some at home, too. So, yeah, I'll buy that.
Sorry, that was our last one. Should have teed it up that way. But that was our last one.
Hey, what's a smooth transition? It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Tonight, World Series Game 3. Dodgers trying to take a commanding lead over the Yankees. We're trying to get back in the series. And then on our sister station, AM 1300, The Bet, the Steelers look to take over first place in the AFC North as big, well, six-point favorites over the G-men, the New York Giants. We come back, talk about Week 8 NFL season. Chris Boombacca, USA Today. Get back to your phone calls at 410-583-1057. We got our AFC North report coming up at 1:30 while the Ravens played the Browns, but the Bengals played Philly. Did not go well for the home team, and we'll get to our picks. And I guess that was, I don't know, you'll find out at 1:15.
The latest sports news and your place to talk about it. Always 105.7 The Fan.
Chiefs sunglasses. Maybe that's what Rashad Bateman needed yesterday.
Oh, no doubt.
Cleveland, the sun was in his eyes. Vinny Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Ravens lose 29-24 to the Browns. Five-game winning streak, abrupt halt for Cleveland. Five-game losing streak ends there. Bob Hitty, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw is on the other side of the glass. Week 8's not done yet, however. Pittsburgh tonight taking on the Giants. Here to talk about yesterday, preview tonight a little bit. From USA Today, let's welcome back to the show Chris Boombacca. Chris, good afternoon. Thanks for joining us again here on The Fan.
My guys, how we doing? Happy end of week 8, start of week 9. Great to be on with you as always.
Yeah, we got a, what do they say, flush this one for the Ravens. But as we look at not just yesterday, but season long, last year's Ravens defense, top 5 in this, number 1 in that, but what, points per game, sacks, turnover differential. This year, not even close to any of those categories. So as we talk about mystifying things so far through almost 8 weeks of the season, where does the Ravens defense kind of sucking right now, right for you?
Yeah, I mean, I think entering this game, they had the best rushing defense in terms of yards per play and yards per game, and then the worst pass defense in those categories. And watching their games, you do kind of get that sense. It was one of those things that checked out. And there usually is a team in the NFL every year that kind of has one of those crazy splits like that. And this year it's just the Ravens. They obviously have a lot to figure out on the back end. You saw at the end of their loss there to the Browns that everybody I know is freaking out about today. But you got to trust that Zach Orr in his first year coordinating this Ravens defense is going to figure some things out. You got to trust that the secondary is going to get healthy with the returns of Marlon Humphrey and Nate Wiggins. And you got to trust that Kyle Hamilton will make those game-changing plays when given the opportunity. I mean, look, if he catches the ball yesterday, we're having totally different conversations today, right? So sometimes that's the way it goes, and you just got to believe that the Ravens will figure it out on the back end there.
Chris, what would you put the odds at of the Ravens making a trade here before the trade deadline for a defensive player? I'm guessing probably pass rusher.
Yeah, no, I expect Eric DaCosta to be active. I think he's in the interest it's in his interest to upgrade this team right now, especially on the defensive side of the ball. We've seen him, I think it was a couple years back when they brought in Roquan, right, near the deadline, or at least, in the middle of the season. So, we know that there's precedent for Eric to go out and do something on the defensive side of the ball. Wouldn't shock me whether it's pass rush or in the secondary just for depth purposes, both to make an immediate impact now and then, down the line, when you're playing Patrick Mahomes in the playoffs, you can never have too many bodies in the secondary, right? So it could be a beneficial move in both aspects.
Hey, Chris, you know what everybody forgets about the Chiefs is their defense is damn good.
So good. So good. Steve Spagnuolo will go down as one of the best defensive coordinators of all time, in my opinion, going back to his success with the New York Giants. And then I know it didn't work out for him as a head coach in this league, but with Andy Reid in Kansas City, he's really been I think the secret to their success. It's not really even a secret anymore, right? We're talking about it a lot more. And I think it's also a real credit to general manager Brett Veach and how he has hit on defender after defender in the early portions of the NFL draft. You look at even a guy like Leo Chenal out of Wisconsin, I think is a third-round pick. Nick Bolton, linebacker, is a second-round pick. George Karloftis, not the flashiest guy getting a ton of sacks, but who goes out and sets an edge against the run like Karloftis at the defensive end spot, who's a guy that, is trying to get sacks, but at the same time plays against the run like that, and that's an end-of-first-round pick right there. So I think it's just a real marriage between front office and coaching staff there in Kansas City. And that's why, the defense is able to do what it does.
Hey, Chris, is Philly going to win the NFC East?
Oh, I'm sorry. Say that again about the NFC East.
Is Philly going to win the NFC East?
No, I was at the game yesterday, guys, here in DC, or I guess Landover. And I think the Commanders have the magic this year. I don't know what it is. I think it's RG3 part two with Jaden Daniels and the fact that he goes and wins the division his rookie season. And they have a whole playoff game here. I think that the Commanders are going to hang on and get this done. I think that there's just something different. I know that the defense is a real question mark here, but I think Dan Quinn is scheming them up in a way that overcomes some of their shortcomings. And I like the Eagles a lot. I think that, I want to see them play some quality opponents still. The Bengals are not very good this year, let's be honest. And, their other wins have come against subpar teams. And I want to see the Eagles do it against a quality opponent. And I think the Thursday night game against Washington is going to be a really good one.
Now, what do you think about tonight's game, Chris?
Yeah, I'm picking the Steelers. Giants in primetime are horrible, and there's no reason for me to think that it's going to go any different. I was there in Pittsburgh last Sunday night for their ultimate demolition of the Jets and Aaron Rodgers, and we could talk about that in a little bit. Oh my goodness, what's going on with them? But I'm gonna pick the Steelers. Combination of defense and special teams just overwhelming the Giants, Russell Wilson doing enough to get it done. A couple moon balls to George Pickens. That's going to just be how Mike Tomlin does it. And before we know it, they're going to be, challenging the Ravens, but for the top of the AFC North, and they'll get into the playoffs with a 6 or 7 seed. It's just how it's going to go this year. They're already at, 5 or 6 wins?
5-2, they could take over sole possession of the division if they win tonight. Chris Boombacha, USA Today, talking NFL with him. Now, Houston's going to win the AFC South. They're kind of in a strong position, but Anthony Richardson, he tapped himself out after a long run, admitted he was tired or fatigued or gassed, whatever term he wants to use. But have you ever seen anything like that? We've seen Lamar Jackson run all over football fields and stay in the game and do what he has to do. But Anthony Richardson, maybe he was tired of throwing incompletions. I don't know, Chris Boombacha, but how does that resonate inside, if we're guessing, obviously, that Colts locker room right now where your franchise quarterback had to take a knee for a play?
I mean, judging by the reaction on the talk shows this morning from former players, not great inside that Colts locker room, I'll tell you that right now. I mean, I've never seen anything like it. You asked me that. I've never seen anything like that. And I missed this yesterday, but it's been a huge talking point today. And, yeah, that's a really bad look. And I watched the plays where, the two plays in which after he tapped himself out, literally tapping his helmet, we're not using that term figuratively at all. It's not like these were 30-yard sprints down the field. I mean, he runs around a little bit, but, they're not the craziest scrambles I've ever seen. Jaden Daniels, sprinted around more on his Hail Mary throw yesterday, I thought. I've never seen anything like that now.
All right, Chris, I wasn't going to blast the Jets. You brought them up, though, so let's stick a fork in them. They're in the darkness phase of things. I mean, Buffalo, it looks like they're going to run away with this. Miami loses at home. Chad Ryland, former Terp, game-winning field goal there. But how can things get any worse with the Jets, I guess?
I mean, if it does, they're going to be inventing ways to do it, right? But that would be classic Jets, so I'm not going to put it past them. I didn't think that it could get worse than what I saw last Sunday night in Pittsburgh. I mentioned that I was there. That was a defeated locker room. They were lacking energy, and now they're clearly lacking any sense of light. So, all the luck to Aaron Rodgers and the Jets this season, it's probably best for them to just go their separate ways once they play the string out on this and the Jets can restart, move on from Joe Douglas, get a new regime in there, and see what happens.
It's crazy. Too much sun for the Ravens, and it's too dark for the Jets. Yeah. Can't have it all, I guess, in the NFL. Through 8 weeks, Chris Boombacha, USA Today. Appreciate the time, as always. Enjoy tonight's game. We'll catch up soon.
Sounds good, guys.
Thanks,
I did this interview with the sunglasses on.
There you go.
That way,
nice.
Nothing could happen.
I wear my sunglasses at night, to quote an old song from way back when. He's Chris Boombacha, USA Today. We'll come back, take your phone calls, 410-583-1057, NFL Lunch, top of the hour. Look back at some of yesterday's fun. We'll look at our picks. Okay, how'd that go? Stick around, you'll find out. And our AFC North report, Vinny brought up Philadelphia. Well, they won at the expense of Cincinnati. Are the Bengals circling said drain here?